Thank you. Thank you for today. Intercut Duke, that we can come before you today, Lord, to partake and proclaim the new covenant that your Son Jesus accomplished and established for us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, through it. Lord, we can come to a place, Lord, to receive all the benefits of what he has done. And today, Lord, we just open ourselves up to you, and we, Lord, follow Jesus' instruction on how to receive, Lord, from you by realizing what was accomplished on Calvary. We praise you and thank you for that, and we just come to your word so that you minister to us your life, your healing, your power, and your victory. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So this is important to understand that Jesus established this ceremony, if you want, although it's not a ceremony, but it's an event that we can participate in to receive what he has done, to make it easier for us to receive. It's not that to receive from God we need to do that, but this is a reminder of what took place, a reminder of what the implication of it are. You know, God, it's the covenant God. That's the way he always interacted with his people. He always established like a contract by which he would do certain things as we do certain things. You see, it's a contract, a binding contract between people. Covenant were common all over for all nations, all races, and everything else. And generally, this kind of contract was a binding, a serious contract, and involved the shedding of blood. So there is always the shedding of blood that took place, and this when this contract was made, there were benefits from both sides of the contract. So this is what Jesus came to establish and to change the relationship that we have with God. Okay? It was based not as much as on what we do, but on what he did. He did it for us because it was not possible for us to fulfill all the requirements of the law. This is why the law was given, just to show us and to demonstrate to us that we need him more than anything else. And that what we need is to have put our trust in what he has done. So that's what is going to change the type of relationship that we have with God. In terms of, the only requirement from our side is to put our trust in Jesus and to act accordingly. So that as we do open ourselves up to what he has done and accept what he has done, then the transference from what he has done to us changes us. Changes our personality, changes our behavior, changes the way we look at ourselves, changes the way we act, changes everything that we have, because what was in him is transferred to us as we put our faith in him. So it's not anymore a question of following rules and regulation in the Old Testament, but there are some two basic rules that the new covenant is established on, that include all the law and the prophets. And this law, these principles, if you want, is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself. When you do those things, everything else is going to be taken care of. So it's not anymore in a question of checking out your list and making sure that you have filled up all the things. It's so much easier to be in the New Testament, but the impact, the terms of results are so much better, or should be so much better. When we realize and connect with a full understanding and a full heart to what Jesus has done, the power that is released in us is able to transform our life and to empower us to live a victorious life. We have to realize that, and we have to appropriate that. And communion is a way of a reminder for us of what Jesus has done and the impact that that is going to have. You know, the word says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. You see, all the things, all the promises in the New Testament are always ending up literally or in intention with in him. It's the fact that we can receive all these things as we are in him. Okay? So, communion is not a magical ceremony. It's simply a way of reminding ourselves what he has done, so that we may remind ourselves of what the results should be and open to the Spirit of God, to the power of God, to work in our life, to manifest those things. Now, this is why Jesus established communion. Okay, it's not a ceremony. It's a way of for us to activate our faith and to celebrate the new covenant. Okay, it's all about that. It's all about Jesus' death. It's all about Jesus' resurrection. It's all about what Jesus did for us so that we can receive all the benefits. Okay. Now, I shared some time, you know, about 20 years ago, I had a healing experience as I was taking communion. This was the normal thing for the early church. They did not have healing services. They had communion. And communion produced healing in the people that were doing it when they understood what it was about. Okay? Now, we are going to do the same today. We are going to look at the meaning. We are going to look at the different aspect of it. We're going to look at what Jesus said, you know, even if not directly from the account of the gospel, but from, you know, the account on 2 Corinthians, because there is a... The whole thing, the whole concept is expanded, is explained. And if we don't understand what is there, how are we able to receive it? We need to understand things to be able to receive things. If we don't know that God wants to save us, then how are we going to be saved? If we don't know that God wants to forgive us, how are we going to be forgiven? If we don't know that God wants to heal us, how are we going to be healed? There is no basis for our faith, because our faith is based on believing what the Word of God says about these things. It's not a question of feeling. It's not a question of what somebody said. It's not a question of, funny experiences. You don't need to have any experience. But you get the results that the Word says. It doesn't go by feeling. It doesn't go by whatever you want to do. It goes with what he did and what the Holy Spirit is able to do. Okay. So we are going to share this understanding. So we're going to, and, you know, the important thing to recognize is that essentially, you know, in the covenant I said there was shedding of blood. And in this case, with Jesus' blood, they were shed. Generally, there was the offering of a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was, determining or establishing the covenant that was taking place. Well, in this case, his own life he put for achieving the results. And his own blood was shed. So this is a covenant that is much deeper than any other covenant, considering that Jesus was not just a normal individual like us, but he was a son of God that came for that purpose, to establish that covenant, to make sure that we are transformed and set free from the bondages that we put ourselves into with Adam and Eve. All right. So Jesus just did it for us. He died for us so that we may be set free. So expect today to be set free as we go through this. Expect today to receive everything that included there, the forgiveness, and we are going to have a confession at the end of all the different elements that are involved in receiving what we have. We are going to share it together. We're going to say it together. We're going to stand on that together. So that you don't come just through a ceremony. You know, when you come up here, you don't need to say anything, but say it is done. You just, whatever the need is, you know, fix it before. Like the woman of the issue of blood. When I do that, I receive it. And at that very moment, you say that. Don't need to go through many other things. You say, right now, I receive, and what you got, add in the things that you need to receive because Jesus paid for it. Are you following me? Okay. So we start from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. See, there are some things that we have to remember. And these are the things that we have to remember. So starting, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is, there are first things that we have to remember. See, do this in remembrance of me. This is what Jesus instructed us to do. See, what we are going to do, go through, are some instructions, some steps that we have to go through, and we are going to, you know, just don't be there listening and being passive. It's the moment to participate and to be involved. All right, so this, when we say, take this in my body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me, just remember it, just believe it, just appropriate it, just say, okay, this was your body, was shed, it was broken for me, for you, for each person here. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So you can see there are two things that we had to acknowledge about the situation. The first one is, you know, acknowledging what he has done, acknowledging that both his body and his blood were shed at that particular time on the cross. Okay. So involve the remembrance, first part, which really it happened. There was more than a physical event. This was a spiritual event because he did it for a spiritual purpose, to get spiritual results. All right? The second thing is the fact that you appropriate what happened at that time for yourself. You say, this was done for me. His blood was shed for me. His body was broken for me. And so this is the way we appropriate it, okay? And what is going to, what that produces is a number of things that we're going to see in detail later on. But as I said before, you know, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we may receive the righteousness of God in him. So one of the most important things that takes place at that covenant is that we receive God's righteousness. And there is no other way to receive it. There is no way that we ourselves can achieve that purpose. And so we can be grateful for that. Okay? And why he proved that by his resurrection. He was resurrected so that we may believe that actually this spiritual event has an effect on us, because there was something supernatural taking place when he was resurrected. See, faith in his resurrection is critical to enable believers to receive what he did. I am, you know, not going to go into some of all of the detail on all the facts here, because but I'm trying to pull out some of the elements that we had to think, consider, and receive. Okay? So the thing is, that's what you're going to do today. If you really want to do a communion that is meaningful, you had to appropriate this transfer that took place. You know, the transfer, or the big transfer that took place at that time and is fulfilled each time we receive it, is something that we can experience even after 2,000 years. Now, some people may say, okay, well, you say I receive it when I take the element. The enemy is going to play games with you. The first game he's going to play is, well, what about if you fail? What about if you cannot receive? That's the way it works. Okay. The thing is, you see, what you had to do is position in your heart, okay, in which you don't give up, even if there may be not an evident manifestation at that particular moment. Now, you expect an evident manifestation. You expect something to happen on that moment. But if it doesn't happen immediately, doesn't mean that it has not taken place. It simply means it's not manifested yet. So the thing you have to do is to hold on to that belief, and that moment in time, you say, I received it. And it's going to be manifested at the right time. Sometimes there are things that delay the manifestation. They are not from God. Okay? But they could be. So you just stand on, stand firm, write on your Bible, put it someplace, and keep it in front of you all the time. Okay, let's continue. We are at verse 25, now we go to verse 26. Verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, let's just come in. Okay. So for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So you see, there is the second part. First is a remembrance that goes with an appropriation. Now the third step is a proclamation. You see, you speak it out. You say it. You say, okay, that he died. But, you know, really, the implication for that is not that you say that he died, but you say also the impact of that death. Because he died for me. My sins are forgiven. But there is a proclamation that has to take place of the benefit that he established for you. Otherwise, it's something that happened that's not related to you. So you had to actually speak out within yourself or aloud what actually was accomplished with that event. So you see, that is why you proclaim the Lord's death. You make a proclamation of what happened. So first, you believe it was for you, you know, receiving it or appropriating. Okay, you remember it, you appropriate it, and then you proclaim it. Yes, he died for me. So, proclamation or declaration is the same thing anyway. So that's the other possible interpretation of the word there. And then there are some more instructions. Let's go to verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Okay. This is one of the verses that really get confusing. And unless we understand them properly, they put us into legalism. Okay? So I want to take some time to explain these things. Okay? The wrong teaching, and we start with the wrong thing so that we understand not what not to do. Okay? Is, okay, to be worthy of taking communion, you have to be there, repenting of all your sins, finding out all the sins that you did, list them up, and try to repent of each of them, because otherwise you are not worthy. And that is not what it's saying. Because, number one, you can't remember all the sins you made. Who can? I mean, let's be honest. You know, we sin. We are shortcomings, you know, lots of shortcomings, lots of weaknesses. So that's evidently is not what it's saying. Otherwise, nobody takes communion. Communion is given to us to help us to receive from God when we are messed up. If you are not messed up, you don't need to take communion. But we all are messed up. We all come short of the glory of God. Even after we are born again, doesn't make it, you know, yeah, the desire is there, but from a practical point of view, forget it. There's a lot of work to do. We are, you know, working construction site. So, this is not what it means, okay? You cannot remember that. The proper meaning is, you know, understanding what is, how we become righteous, how we become worthy. And there is only one way, by faith. See, the only way that we become worthy of God's relationship with us is by faith in what Jesus has done. So the key thing, and that's why, you know, the whole communion is all about. Okay, it refers back to that, and it says, okay, now, you know, go worthily. I mean, recognize what he has done and acknowledge what he has done and go there, you know, receiving what he has done. You see, go that believing by faith in what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for you. Okay? This is the only way to be worthy, is by faith in Jesus. Otherwise, it's by your works, and your works are dirty rags for God. All right? So this is the way you prepare yourself, the attitude that you should have when it comes to receiving from God, when it comes to taking communion. Okay? You are exercising your faith in what Jesus has done and not in your own works or actions. So it's no use to go around looking at the whole list of wrongs you did. Your heart has to be open to the fact that, yeah, they were wrong. But focus on what Jesus has done and the fact that you believe it. When all these things come to your mind, which the devil probably is going to try to do, you say, that's covered by Jesus' blood. I recognize I was wrong. That's covered by Jesus' blood. And you stand on what Jesus has done instead of even your repentance. Because the devil said, did you really repent about that? Okay? So, the juice and the bread are only symbols that help you to remember and to visualize what took place by Jesus, on Jesus. They are, if you want, you know, I call it like enacted meditation. You know, it's a physical meditation that you actually see and participate in. Okay. So what do you do if you feel there is sin in your life? Well, remember, there is no life here in which there is no sin in itself. Everybody sins and comes short of the glory of God. So that's a starting point you should have, and not to think that you had to be this special spiritual person. This is for everyone who accepted Jesus. Okay? Connect to Jesus' forgiveness. Connect from the reality of what he has done, and your conscience is going to be cleansed from that. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Okay, your conscience. See, what does it mean that your conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus? It simply meant that the way you see yourself is changed. You don't see yourself anymore according to the things that you do. But you see yourself according to your trust, the trust that you have in Jesus. See, it changes the whole game of life. It changes the way you feel. It changes the way you relate to yourself and you relate to others. So this is the first step that you had to do. And maybe, you know, it's a good thing. Let me read you the Hebrew that I was mentioning before the scripture. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, before, you know, there were sacrifices of animals, now the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works. And that means, you know, cleanse your conscience to try to deserve what Jesus has done for you. You cannot deserve it. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, when you serve the living God, like in the Old Testament, and like many Christians today, they do it to obtain acceptance by God. When instead, it doesn't work that way. The way it works is that you are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted by God because you put your trust in Jesus, not for the things that you do. Oh, you do good things. But the good things that you do out of the love that you have for God and not to get your brownie point. Are you following me? So, instead of just skimming through and doing quickly, just take a minute and go through this, what we have been applying, what I said, to your own life, to your own feelings, to your own conscience. And before, let me go something a bit more here a moment. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. See, this examination taken with the wrong idea is to really find out all the sins that you made. That's not the meaning, as I said. Okay? See, examining yourself is really examining if you are in the place in which you feel that Jesus' work is enough for you. You see, what you do is examine yourself if you are in faith. If you are in faith means, you know, that you are in Christ. Anything else is not being in Christ, it's being on your own works. Okay? It's because of the blood of Jesus that you are clear and righteous. And you trust him that what he did is enough for you. All right, so I give you a minute here. And you just go through the process. It's very simple. As I said before, you start by remembering, appropriating, applying to yourself. And finally, you know, you go and examining yourself to identify if you put your trust in Jesus and you do consciously a decision about doing that. Apply this directly and specifically about some of the needs you have that are covered by God's promises. If it's healing, then apply that to the specific healing that you need. And you say to yourself, when I take the bread and the juice, I receive my healing. Okay? And the only thing you have to do when you come up and you take them, you just say to yourself, I now receive my healing. You had done all the homework before. That's what I want you to do, to have enough time to do the homework, to deal with the feelings inside yourself, to make sure that you are in a position in which you are in faith and you are believing. If there is any doubt, you reject it. Okay. Now, let me continue here because this following part is important. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, all right. So, the idea is, to eat and drink judgment in himself. Really, what it says is, what you are actually doing without realizing, when you go and drink in an unworthy manner, that means within yourself you know you don't deserve it. And you are not putting your trust in Jesus. So because you don't put your trust in Jesus, you are not in faith. And so you are unworthy. And so what you do is you judge yourself. You condemn yourself because you know that you don't trust Jesus. It's not God condemning you. It's you that's condemning yourself because you're aware of the fact that you are not worthy. You see, you had to come to this with a feeling of you are unworthy, not because of myself, but because of Him. It's because of Him that I can receive it today. Okay. See, that's this, you are actually, the words eat and drinks judgment on himself means, that you yourself, because you are not feeling worthy, you condemn yourself. And automatically, you cut yourself off from God's blessings. Because you do not discern properly what Jesus has done. The body, the Lord's body. His blood and his body. Okay? See, discerning, you have to come to the place when you say, I'm at peace with God because of what Jesus has done. I'm not condemned or I'm not unworthy because of what Jesus has done. So that you stop looking at yourself from a flesh point of view and start looking at yourself the way Jesus looked at you after we finished his job. Okay? I am in Jesus. I'm approved by God and accepted in the Beloved. See, that's the way your statement has to be. You see, I believe I'm seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places with Him because I believe in Him. Okay. I am His righteousness. Not unworthy. I am His righteousness because I've been forgiven. His righteousness has been transferred to me. Not because you did some special things. Hallelujah. So he's on what he has accomplished. See, if I want to realize one thing, if God punishes you in this dispensation, he is denying what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. Do you realize that? He's saying what he did wasn't good, and so wasn't good enough for this person. So I had to punish them. See, he did that for everybody before they were saints, before they accepted him. Okay? This is true spiritually, and this is true physically. You know, he became sin so that you become the righteousness. He became sick for you so that you may be healed. See, all the aspects are covered in your life. See, this is the greatest change that took place that day. That was prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, which you're going to read now. Said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, but was despised, and we esteem him, we did not esteem him. That's a different translation. Surely he has borne my griefs and carried our sorrows. Really, the translation there is not accurate. It should be carried out my pains and, you know, borne our pain and carried our diseases. This is a better translation. In fact, if you have a good translation, like the New American Standard Version, you know, it's going to say that. In some translation, there is on the notes on the side that give you the accurate translation. This is the way it's actually translated in the Septuagint, where, you know, it's clear in the meaning of the words. So yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So there is number one, you know, that he took our pain and our sicknesses. So if he took them, how can we have them? Okay. They are there illegally. They are there because we have let them there, one way or another. And so we can, understanding covenants. This is why I'm referring to covenants here. See, covenant is a legal binding contract. There is a legal aspect. You say, are you legalistic? Absolutely for this. God is. Because it's fair. You see, the purpose of a contract is that you know where you stand. There are some things you had to do and some things you had to going to receive. And they are fixed. So when you know the contract, you know what you had to do. In the Old Testament, the contract was a long list of things you had to do. Here the contract is two issues that actually include all the others, but you know, it's done by default more than anything else in a much deeper level. Okay? But the point is, the other way you can do it, cannot do it. This way you can overcome. So, So the idea is, you know, there are the things that are covered there is the griefs or the pain and diseases that are being taken away from us. So if they have not been taken away, we can say, go, because Jesus took them away. You have no right to be there. Okay? And then our iniquities and our transgressions are also taken care of Because we have a peace with God, and we are, so there is no anymore the separation between us and God. Okay? You know, some people believe that God makes people sick. God cannot make people sick because Jesus paid for our sins. Even before we repent. That we're paid for. Now, we may not benefit from it. Okay. So the important thing is to discern the body so that we do not come in condemnation. Let's go further. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, which means they are dead. So, evidently, we don't need to. Okay? But the reason why they are sick or dead is not because God put it on them because they were unworthy. It's because they cannot receive if they go unworthy. So they stay the way they were when they come in. It doesn't go off. It goes off only when you enforce what God has done by faith and believe it. It's not that God, because you were unworthy, is punishing you, putting sickness and disease on you, or whatever it says there. Is that you are not able to connect with the power and the grace of God to be able to receive it. That means, you know, there is a situation in which there is not the faith that was required. That's verse 31. For if we who judge ourselves, you see, who's judging? God or us? Okay. How do you judge, though? That's the point. If you judge yourself, see, what do you judge? The things that you did that were right? Or the fact that you believe Jesus did it for you? See, that's the judgment that you had to pass. That's the reason to be worthy. So the only judgment that you had to make is, do I trust in Jesus? Am I in the position to trust in Jesus? My heart believes that what he has done is enough to cover all my sins and to heal all my diseases. See, are we in faith? If you judge yourself, we recognize that we are in faith and we are proved by our faith in Jesus. Then we will not be judged. See, we'll be not be judged. What means, you know, the fact that what is judgment? It's expectation of punishment. So we will not feel expecting that we are going to be punished. That's what it means. Okay. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Now, this is another thing, you know, that we are not realizing, you know, the fact is that we are not in the world. Now, the idea here is simple. Okay. Chastened is not the sickness. Chastening is the fact that you feel guilty and the Holy Spirit works in you to show you, see, chastening of the Lord is correction. Correction is not punishment. The Lord corrects us by showing us something is wrong. The Holy Spirit's job is really to guide you into all truth, not to make you sick. People that says that because we do the wrong thing, we get sick because God put it on us, are wrong, because that case you say the Holy Spirit is making you sick, which is a blasphemy, actually. Okay, praise the Lord. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 there. You know, say, essentially says this. I'm not going to, there's not much time here. We have to move on. You know, says this, you know, stay out of sin and stay in love. In that way, your heart will not condemn us. Okay? So, that, see, this is the thing, the reference that you have to have there. When we are staying out of sin consciously, I mean, we try to not to sin, we try our best, and we stay, you know, in the love of God and love others, then automatically our conscience is not going to condemn us. That's all. All right. Now, we are practically there. I am going to be shorter here. You know, we are to be in the place in which we love God and love others. Okay? And we do that because God first loved us. And so we can recognize what he has done, and we are open to what he has done for us. All right? So I have a confession here that we can confess some things, some benefits, as we discern the body and the blood of Jesus. But we need everybody in. And I was hoping that they would come in, but they're out there yet. So can you get them, everybody in that needs to be come in? Including my wife. Just keep your focus. Don't get distracted. Keep your focus so that you are discerning the body and the blood. Apply it to yourself so that you can appropriate what is yours. Don't get distracted. Stay focused on what Jesus has done for you. Stay focused and apply it to your own situation. Stay focused and believe that what he has done is enough. Stay focused and just receive what he has done. Okay, so remember this, for the step is, you know, you remember what he has done, you appropriate it for yourself, you declare it, yes, and we are going to make a declaration now. Okay, a specific declaration of specific areas. And then you say, okay, the moment in which I take those symbols there, the juice and the bread, I receive what I need in my life. And you mention what it is. And so that's the focus. That's the declaration you're going to be doing here when you come here. You line up, you come down, you break the bread, you dip it on the juice, and you take it. The moment you take it, it's yours. And that's the way you have to be the same as the woman with the issue of blood. Now, you can do that in a meaningful way only if you are born again and you are accepted, that means accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to understand what you're doing and you have to apply to your life. Now, the way we are going to do it so that we don't get distracted is first, the people that are in the worship group come up. As soon as we finish with my wife and the other ones. So come first, then they go to start the music, and then other people start to do it. Okay? Hallelujah. So now we'll do the confession. See, Jesus was a propitiation for our sins. And so we start receiving, and this how to receive and discern the body of Christ. Okay? That makes the physical, spiritual and physical connection for our healing. Okay? Okay, so from Romans 7:4, we say, I am dead to the law. From Galatians 3:13, we say, I am delivered from the curse of the law. Because he suffered the curse in his body. In Ephesians 5:30 says, for we are member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. By 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes, I was healed. And I am healed now.
Now.
Okay, this is for the body. Now there are many more for discerning the blood of Jesus. Okay, this makes the spiritual connection for covering up everything that all the transgression in our wrong thinking and our wrongdoing. On Romans 3:23 says, I'm justified. That means declare innocent. Okay, Romans 5:9 says, I'm delivered from wrath.
I am delivered from wrath.
In Romans 5:1 says, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
In Romans 9:22 says, I have remission of sins.
I have remission of
sins.
That means
I'm free from all the consequences.
From all the consequences.
In Ephesians 1:7 says, my sins are forgiven.
My sins are forgiven.
In Ephesians 2:13 says, I am made near to God.
There is no separation
from my sins.
In
Hebrews 9:14 says, the consciousness is cleansed.
Because
of what he has done.
That means
my awareness
of myself
is changed.
In
Hebrews 10:19 says, I have access
to
the Holy of Holies. Okay, in Hebrews 13:12 says, I'm sanctified.
That means
I'm set apart.
In
2 Corinthians 1:20 says, I'm qualified for all the promises of God. For in Jesus Christ, there are yea and amen. To the glory of God the Father through us. In Ephesians 1:20-22 says that I am absolute victory over all the devil and all the forces of the devil. In Jesus' name, we proclaim victory. Amen.
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 All right. So now what you don't just do that. Let's start on just myself and then with the others
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's say it together. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We remember.
What Jesus did for us.
And we receive it.
And we receive it.
In our own life.
In my own life.
I receive.
Forgiveness.
I receive.
Healing.
I receive.
Peace with God.
I receive.
Righteousness.
Anointing.
Freedom.
Victory.
In
my life.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Children
are
sometimes
small
and
they,
you know, are not
used
to take communion. The
thing
is, Jesus
never
sent away
the
children. Why should we?
Amen.
And they are under the protection. You see, that's what was done with the Passover. Whole families were covered when the lintel of the door was, you know, shed with, you know, painted with the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
This is an example for us that we can follow. So that all families are covered by the new covenant, which is a better covenant with better promises. They've done, you know, with a better sacrifice that doesn't change all the time. And once done, is forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a blessed year.